now turn to the portion of God's Word which we read in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 11. We may read from verse 27. Matthew, chapter 11, verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Seeking the Lord's blessing this evening, I wish to direct particular attention to verse 28, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now we see immediately that these words are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that very fact itself should arrest your attention and mine. Here are the words of one who was and still is the Son of God in our nature. One whose words are words most pure and heavenly, and words that we ought to indeed lay to heart. All the more, dear friends, because they are words that are directed to poor sinners. Words that call poor sinners to that rest that is spiritual, that rest that is saving, that rest that is indeed special, rest that cannot be found, you see, in the things of this world. Well then, how very precious are all the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. But, you see, these words are especially precious, because they take to do with the relationship. Relationship between Christ and his people. Here is Christ calling his people to himself. Here he is giving this gospel call that is such a precious call. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, you see from the context how that the Saviour had been speaking about very solemn matters indeed. Verse 25. How he had been speaking about really the doctrine of election. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. And so there is the sovereignty of God. And what we find is that following on from these things, God's sovereignty, that the Saviour then gives forth the gospel call. You see how these things come together in the Word of God. Not just from the lips of the ministers of Christ, but from the very lips of the Saviour himself, speaking about the sovereignty of God, drawing the attention of his hearers, no doubt, also to that very point, and then giving forth this call, come unto me. And so what we have here is, you see, the use that we are to make of God's sovereignty. Recent weeks we have as a congregation, well, we have been speaking about God's sovereignty in the matter of salvation. You that he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Absolute sovereignty of God, the power of God, that is necessary if any sinner is to come to Christ, if any sinner is to be saved, then God must be in it. And here it is, you see, here is the use that we are to make of the doctrine of election. Here is the use that we are to make when we are speaking of the sovereignty of God.
We are to come to Christ. We are to come to the mediator. We are to come to the one who is able to bring us to the Father in a way of peace. That is the use we are to make of the solemn matters revealed in Scripture with regard to God's sovereignty in salvation. Verse 27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal. Here it is. And then what? Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me if you would come to the Father. Come unto me if you would have peace with God. Come unto me if your soul would be saved. Then come to me for this rest, this glorious rest of spiritual peace in your conscience. Well, surely here we have the gospel call indeed. And that's our subject here this evening. The gospel call of Christ. You see, here is something very precious. How wonderful it is to hear the gospel call from the ministers of Christ. How very precious it was for those in Jerusalem to hear the call of the gospel from the lips of Peter. Or those in Corinth who heard it from the lips of the Apostle Paul. Come to Christ. Ah, but here is something that is even more precious, as it were. Here is the gospel call of Christ himself. Coming down to us through the ages. Coming down to us this evening. Pages of Scripture. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Gospel call of Christ. Firstly, we will note that this call is from Christ. Very obviously, and yet most profoundly. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Every word of this text proceeded from the lips of Jesus. Every word. How precious. This gospel call in its entirety is from the Savior. From the Savior. How wonderful. What a privilege that we can read these things. What a privilege that we can give ourselves some time this evening to meditate on this truth of the Word of God. It is a call from Christ. Was then, and it is now. Then secondly, we will go on to note that this call is addressed to sinners. All ye that labour and are heavy laden. Oh, this call is addressed to sinners. And then thirdly and lastly, we will note that the blessing is promised to those that come. Of course, this is an essential point to lay to heart. Absolutely essential. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When? When you come. To whom? To me. That's when. That is how you are going to find this rest. And apart from coming to Christ, there can be no rest. The promise is to those that come, those who actually come to Christ. That is the promise. And of course that promise will be fulfilled. Most necessary, most absolutely, surely will be fulfilled. None that come to him for rest shall be disappointed, because they are obedient to his voice. And we are, after all, dear friends, to obey the gospel. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Well, here's our text this evening. It is the gospel, and it is the gospel from the lips of the Saviour himself. The gospel from the lips of the greatest preacher that this world has ever seen or shall see. Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. For, dear friends, here we have a preacher who could not err, who did not err in one bit. Here is the one who is, was and is, the Son of God.
the divine Son of God, the one who cannot lie, the one who cannot deceive you, the one who cannot deceive me. Come unto me, he says, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How marvellous that we should have the gospel, not just from the lips of Peter and Paul, that is wonderful, we value that very much, but also from Christ's lips. That is such a blessing, to be able to read this, to hear the Saviour proclaiming the gospel in this way, this simple way, this certain way, this very sure way. Well, this is indeed a great privilege. It was a privilege to those who heard it then, and surely it is no less of a privilege to us who hear it now. Because it is still the truth of God. It is still the voice of Jesus Christ that comes to us here this night. It is not a different person. It is the Savior. It is Christ the Son of God who said this then, who says this now. Come unto me. You see? What a privilege. We read there in verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. And you see, it is the same person who is speaking here, come unto me. There's no division. It's the same person who's speaking. The person who only just before had addressed God as his Father, who answered. And that's a wonderful point, isn't it? He had been speaking, you see, there not to the Father, but to the people, woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, speaking their solemn words of judgment. Then he comes to this. At that time, Jesus answered. We don't read that anyone had been speaking to him. And yet we read, Jesus answered. And who did he answer? I thank thee, O Father. There it is. What a revelation we have here of the constant communion, their fellowship there was in the holy soul of Christ to the Father. Communion, fellowship, love. I thank thee, O Father. Verse 27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Well then, what power, what majesty, what authority this person had then. What authority? Speaking to the Father in that familiar way. Speaking to God as his Father. Speaking of his power. Speaking of his authority. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. All things. The enlightening of sinners by my Holy Spirit. All things delivered unto me. Purchasing of salvation for my people. All things delivered unto me of my Father. What authority. And then you see, it is the same person who says, come unto me. All ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's the same person. The same person. The person who had just been speaking to the Father. This familiar way, as the Son of God, in your nature and in my nature, is this not, and does this not, I should say, lend tremendous weight to what the Savior has to say about coming to him? Come to me, the one who has just been answering the Father. Come to me, the one who is saying and declaring, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. Come to me, the one who has just said, no man knows the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal it. Come unto me. What a person of majesty. What a person of authority. What a person of dignity. And surely, then, friends, when he says, come to me for rest, we ought to, at the very least, consider these words. And we ought, at the very least, to spend a moment or two this evening and prayerfully ask the Lord, what do these words mean? Come unto me. This one who is able to reveal the Father to us. This one who said, as we know on another occasion, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Come unto me. Yes, this one, dear friends, of whom the Father himself declared there later on in this very gospel, in chapter 17, he declared there on the Mount of Transfiguration, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. Well, ought we not, as privileged gospel hearers, to interpret and to consider all the words of the Saviour in that very light? Testimony that was given to him by God the Father. Hear ye him. Give your attention to what he has to say. What he has to say, in other words, is of vast, vast importance to your soul. And not least here, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Surely that is something worth considering. Because it is that which fell from the lips of the divine Saviour. Yes, and it also fell from the lips of the one who is, and is even now, the appointed mediator. The one who is appointed of the Father as the Saviour of sinners. There is one God, we often mention it, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There is the testimony of the Word of God. You may receive it, you may not receive it. What matters is, it is the truth of God's Word. And that does not change. Yes, there may be thousands who dismiss it. Yes, there may be many who seek to the Virgin Mary instead of seeking to Christ, although it is very plain from the Word of God that he is the mediator, not she. That does not alter the fact. God's Word makes it very plain. Christ is the mediator. The Saviour himself could not be plainer when he said there, on that solemn occasion, how that no man comes to the Father but by him. We read there, let's just consider it, in John's Gospel and in chapter 14, how the Saviour said there, in response to that question from Thomas, who said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There it is. Could not be plainer. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What are you to say yourself, friend? What am I to say? What are we all to say? That includes myself.
That includes me. No man comes to the Father but by Christ. That includes me as an individual. You see, we're to take the word home to our hearts. We're to ask the Lord, bless this word home to my heart. Jesus is saying, nobody comes to God but by me. Nobody comes to the Father in a way of peace but by me. I am the appointed mediator. Then heed these words, friends. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Words of Christ, the Son of God. Words of Christ, the divinely appointed mediator. How we ought, you see, to heed his words. How we ought to heed his words. You see, when parties are brought together in a dispute, then they are to hear what the mediator has to say. And even in recent weeks, there's been a case come up in America regarding the government of Argentina and the payment of debt to certain funds and the refusal to pay. Well, the parties were brought together. And one would think, sure, that each party would wish to know, be hanging, as it were, upon what the mediator has to say. Is it this or that? Is it this decision or that decision? What does the mediator have to say? They are looking, you see, for the mediator. What does he have to say? Or she have to say? What about ourselves then? In matters of far greater weight, are we looking to the mediator? Do we have a relationship? Do we have a concern to know this mediator? You see, people in business, they would want to know. The judgment of the mediator is important. We've got an eye towards the mediator to some degree. But what about this? One God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Yet how many pass by? How many disregard this mediator? How many have no concern as to what the mediator has to say? Friends, what about ourselves here this night? Here is something that the mediator has to say. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's what he has to say. He's saying it to you, he's saying it to me. Because you see, in the second place, he is addressing sinners. Here's the point. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. And who is that? Who are being addressed here? Well, one thing is sure and certain, they are sinners. That's for sure. You see, these words are not addressed to the glorified saints in heaven. They are beyond all sorrow. They are beholding the face of God. They are eternally blessed in the full enjoying of God to all eternity. Well, you see, to them these words are not addressed. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. By the grace of God, they came to him in this world by the grace of faith. These words are not addressed to those who are beyond all sorrow, all trouble, all trial. These words are addressed to poor, needy sinners here in time. Here in time. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. Now, the words here are all ye laboring ones. All ye heavily laden ones. All you who are, in other words, burdened and in need of rest. Burdened and in need of rest. And friends, is that not descriptive of sinners of mankind? Is that not descriptive of those who are under the burden of the guilt of sin? Can you think of a heavier burden than that? You see, sometimes we see people travelling about. Maybe go through an airport or some place, see them with a great pack upon their back. They are trying to get to a plane. Perhaps they're late, they're burdened, they're laboring, they're sweating, they're desirous to get to their destination, in order that they may get relief, they may get rest, they may get the burden off their back. But what is that in comparison to this? The rest that Christ is speaking of speaks to us of the burden that needs to be relieved. What is the rest? Well, we see it there in verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. That's it. You see, the rest that the Lord Jesus is speaking about here is not the rest of sleep, which we all value. And we can put our heads down at the end of a weary day, in body, in mind that may be racing through the time, the things of the day, can find some relief, some rest. That is a wonderful gift from God, no doubt about it. Ah, but here is something more profound. Here is something more precious. Ye shall find rest for your souls. Spiritual rest. In other words, salvation. Peace of conscience. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Increase of grace. And perseverance thereunto them. Rest of soul. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. Well, you see, dear friends, the service of sin is indeed a labor. It is indeed a labor. It is indeed that which is, well, as we know from Scripture, the wages of sin is death. Just think of how unhappy you would be, by way of illustration, laboring in a job week by week, which paid out miserable wages. Wages of pain. Wages such as the Israelites had there in Egypt. The burden of the taskmasters. Making bricks without straw. No end in sight. How discouraged, how disheartened you would be, because there was no end in sight. Well then, what about this then? Burden of sin. What are we laboring for? Living our lives in this world? What is our aim? Perhaps it is to get a good job. Perhaps it is to raise a family. Perhaps it is to attain to retirement. But ultimately it is to end here at the judgment seat of Christ. Solemn matter. Service of sin, you see, is indeed a sad thing. Wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That text there at the end of Romans chapter 6. One must be compared with the other. Wages of sin is death. What kind of a death? Eternal death. Destruction. Damnation of God in hell. That is the wages that are being spoken of there. Because the gift of God is eternal life. Eternal blessedness. Well then, the service of sin is sad indeed. Reverend Donald MacLean, noted minister in our own church, apparently preached from these verses, 28 to 30, in the last sermon he ever had, as far as I know, and we have it in the books recently published, part of a prayer that he offered at the end of his sermon. Including this, give us light upon the truth that the service of sin is a labor that is sad. Labor that is sad. A labor indeed that does never know rest at the end of it. There is no rest, saith my God, to the wicked. Oh, solemn. The service of sin is a labor that is sad. You see, have you been brought to see that? Have you been brought to appreciate that? Have you been brought, dear friend, to feel that in your own soul, so that you are here described as a laboring one, as a heavily laden one? The service of sin is a service that is sad. Wages of sin is death. This is a sad service. But listen to this. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. You see, when we sin, then we draw down this the condemnation of God upon us. Where there is sin, there is sorrow, but also this, and this is a great part of the sorrow of sin, the guilt of it. We cannot sin, but we are guilty before God. When Adam fell from the estate in which he was created by sinning against God, he brought guilt upon himself and upon his posterity. When we sin and this thing and that, we are guilty. Just as surely as the thief, when he is caught, when he is brought before the court of law, when he is found to have transgressed this particular law of the land, he is guilty. Cannot get away from that. He has sinned, he is guilty. He has touched the unclean thing, he is guilty, like Achan. He touched the thing that was the unclean, he touched that, he buried it in his tent. He was guilty before God. The fact that others knew nothing about it did not alter the fact he was guilty before God. Now, friend, think of your own life. Any other things that you may have done, unknown to anyone but yourself, you're guilty before God. Think of the words that you have said that were dishonoring to the Most High. You're guilty. How are you going to deal with that? You see, it's not just something that we can ignore. Just as the man with the burden on his back cannot ignore that fact. Neither can yourself, burdened by sin, responsible to God, damned and guilty, in danger of a lost eternity. Come unto me, all ye that labour then, and are heavy laden. You see how heavily laden we are as sinners. A great load. It is a great load indeed. Load that will bring us down to hell unless the Lord has mercy upon us. Heavily laden, great load of the guilt of sin. You see, there may be some of us here who are not sensible of that. But our insensibility of it, it does not alter the fact that the load is laden. You see, a person who is used to great loads in the army or some occupation whereby they have great strength, they may come to this, that a load that would bow down yourself or myself is something that they can run with, jump with, can run up to the side of a hill with. They've gotten so used to it. Through exercise, through diligent exercise, being strengthened to bear it. So that they, as it were, do not notice it, as another man would. That does not alter the fact that the burden is there. Burden is there. Of course, in due time, it will be felt. It will be felt. And so it is, you see, with regard to the poor sin. May be that we become so hardened to sin, things that may trouble us when we were young, don't trouble us now. Things that we were burdened with in our conscience, we've gotten used to explaining away, so that we are not sensible of these things. Ah, but surely we were made to be sensible, either in this world or in that which is to come. The worm that dieth not, the fire that is not quenched. You see, however insensible we may be here in time, and that is a part of our guilt, that we are so insensible, even the best of us, even the most enlightened of us, so insensible to sin, the judgment seat will drive that away. Oh, dear friend, in light of these things, come to Christ for relief. The burden of the guilt of sin. Surely the Saviour also calls poor sinners to relief from the burden of the power of sin. Here is the terrible thing with regard to sin. Not only does it bring guilt upon our conscience, not only does it bring guilt upon our soul, but it has a tremendous power to keep us in that lost condition. It has a tremendous power to keep us even from Christ. Surely that is the great manifestation of sin and unbelief. Terrible manifestation of sin. That sinners will not come to the one mediator appointed by God for relief. That shows you, that shows me, dear friends, the power of it. Tremendous power. Power of sin. Ah, but you see, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. Including this, the power to break the power of sin. Power to break the power of sin is not found in your soul or my soul, but it is found in the Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Save them from the guilt of it. Save them from the power of it. He's a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Precious Christ. And how exceedingly precious, dear friends, that he is saying to you and to me, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Friend, you are labouring in the yoke of sin. Heed the word of Christ. Come unto me. Take my yoke upon you. A very different yoke. Yoke of loving service. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. One writer notes, such as have wearied themselves in seeking in themselves, or in any of the creatures, something to quiet their souls, and cannot find rest, have warrant to come to him. He says, come unto me, ye that labour. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. Notice that little word, all ye that labour. All ye labouring ones, all ye heavy laden ones. As the church father Augustine noted, we are restless until we rest in thee. We are restless until we rest in God. You see, the Saviour is calling to such, come unto me. All ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Well, thirdly and lastly, we see that the blessing promised is to those that come. The blessing promised is to those that come. I will give you rest. Who is that? Those who come. Come unto me. All ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Those who come may indeed plead this promise, may indeed know the truth of this promise, may indeed feel the value of it and the benefit of it in the rest that comes into their souls. I will give you rest. You see, it is the same Christ who said, I will build my church, who says, come unto me, I will give you rest. What a precious Savior. What an all-sufficient Redeemer. But dear friends, let us heed this point. We must come. If we are to have the truth of this promise, we must come to Christ. It's no use saying this is a wonderful promise. Those who come to Christ shall have rest. Those who come to Jesus shall know salvation. But I will stand over here. I will not come to Christ. Surely we must make the link as it is made here. If we would have the rest, we must have the Saviour. If we would have the peace of soul, we must come to the precious blood of Christ. We must build upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. It's not as though there's another Saviour in the day in which we live to the Saviour who invited and called sinners at this time. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We know that effectual calling, dear friends, is the work of God's Spirit, whereby He convinces us of our sin and misery. In other words, of our labouring in the service of sin. In other words, in terms of the burden of guilt and wretchedness of our condition, enlightens our minds in the knowledge of Christ and renews our wills, gives us that new heart, gives us that willingness to come to Christ so that we are persuaded and enabled to embrace Jesus Christ freely offered to us in the gospel. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The promises to those that come. What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful Saviour is set before you in the gospel. You see, faith is, as someone has put it, a warm embracing of Christ. A warm embracing of Christ. Yes, and how warm that embrace should be when He is so freely offering Himself in the gospel. When He is so wonderfully, gloriously, graciously calling upon you, calling upon me to come to Him for spiritual rest, peace of conscience, and blessings for our souls that will last to all eternity. True rest of conscience, as someone has put it, is to be found in Christ's satisfaction. True rest of conscience is to be found in Christ's satisfaction. And as another has said, rest from the terror of sin in a well-grounded peace of conscience. Rest from the power of sin in a regular order of the soul. Well, what think you of Christ? What think you of the Saviour who is saying to you, as sure as He said to the people to whom He said it, then, come unto me, all ye that live and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Have you come to Christ for rest? And friend, if you have not come, oh, will you not come to Him even this night? Will you not heed His voice calling to you in the gospel? Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But friend, be warned of this. Be warned of this. If you will not come to Christ, you will not find rest. You will not have rest in this world. And you most certainly, solemnly, seriously, will not have rest in the world that is to come to all eternity. Therefore come to Christ this night. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. May He bless His word. Let us now pray. Most glorious and gracious God, how serious and solemn is the address that we have heard this night. The gospel, as it were, declared to us on the pages of Scripture by Christ Himself. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We would plead especially for those who are labouring under a sense of their inability and unwillingness to come to Christ, who are sad at heart and who do not know where to find spiritual rest. We do plead that thou wouldst make them a willing people in a day of thy power to come to thee. Oh, do thou have mercy upon those who are careless and indifferent, who do not think that this call of Christ is any more important to think about than any call of some poor person upon the earth, who may call poor sinners to himself. But help us to see that this call is altogether different from any call that we may get from the world to this thing or that to find peace. This is Christ, the Son of God, the appointed mediator, calling to us to come to him for rest. We pray that we would not be disobedient. We pray that we would not be saying in our souls, I will find rest elsewhere. Wash away our sins then for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us conclude with praise to God in Psalm 106. 106 at verse 1. Give praise and thanks unto the Lord, for bountiful is he. His tender mercy doth endure unto eternity. God's mighty works, who can express or show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that judgment keep and justly do always. Remember me, Lord, with that love which thou to thine dost bear. Thy salvation, O my God, to visit me draw near, that I thy chosen's good may see and in their joy rejoice, and may with thine inheritance triumph with cheerful voice. Psalm 106, verses 1 to 5. Give praise and thanks unto the Lord.
Give praise and thanks unto the Lord, for bountiful is he, his tender mercy.
conclude. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.